If you will, one more time. I know you've been up and down today, but could you stand one more time for the reading of the word? I won't keep you up long. And I've just got two verses I'm going to read, and it's the first one is in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 1. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 1. And then we'll read another from Mark after that. And they're on the screen behind me. Everything that has been said here today. Listen, folks, let me give you... I know I said I wasn't going to keep you standing long, so I promise I'm going to talk real fast. But I do have to say this. Everything that has happened here today has been a confirmation of the word.
Amen.
That God wants me to deliver to you today. And if you make the mistake of thinking that because we have not run the aisles, because we have not rolled in the floors or whatever, that God is not here, we have not had church and are not going to have church, then you are making a grave error. God is going to speak, and the question is whether we'll hear what he has to say. Matthew chapter 1, chapter 10 rather, verse 1, and when he, that's Jesus, had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power. Everybody say power. That Greek word for power is exousia, and it means power and authority against unclean spirits. Has anybody ever had any experience with unclean spirits? Has anybody ever battled with an unclean spirit in your own life? Come on, be honest.
Yep.
Amen. Nothing to be ashamed of. The Bible says he gave them power against unclean spirits.
Amen.
To cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, I want you to let this one thing sink in if you don't hear anything else I say. The disciples that Jesus gives this power to, this is the very beginning of his ministry. This is years before the day of Pentecost. These are just good for nothing, sorry guys. And the Bible says Jesus gave them power over unclean spirits. Then Mark chapter 13, verse 34 says, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority. Now here the word is translated authority in the King James. It's the exact same word. It says he gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. In other words, he delegated, in my absence, I'm leaving you in charge. I'm preaching today, not just to those. I'm preaching to those today that have the Holy Ghost. But I'm also preaching to those that have never received it. In other words, I'm preaching to everybody. So hear what the word of the Lord has to say today. I want to preach on this subject for just a little while. Spiritual authority. Everybody say spiritual authority. Praise God. Spiritual authority. Let's lift our hands and voices one more time unto the Lord to ask for his blessings on his word today. Father, again, we thank you for your spirit and presence here today. We ask you, God, to speak to us, Lord. Anoint our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand, in the precious, precious name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Before you're seated, turn around, shake hands with two or three people. Tell them you're glad to see them. Fib if you have to. No, I'm just kidding. You can be seated. Well, praise the Lord. Sounds like it's raining on the outside. Hallelujah. 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 Everybody say, praise the Lord. We saw that word exousia that is translated as power and authority. Jesus said, when he sent his disciples to Jerusalem, he said, you shall receive exousia, or you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We hear that word power, and we tend to focus, especially as Pentecostals, and I can criticize us because I are one, but we tend to focus on the miraculous nature of the word power. Sometimes to our own detriment, we can become so obsessed with miracles and miracle working that we fail to grasp what Jesus was really saying to his disciples. He was telling them, and it says in Matthew 1, it says he called them his 12 disciples. He gave them power. In other words, he gave them authority. Authority. Everybody say authority. Over unclean spirits. When we focus strictly on the miraculous nature of the working of the Spirit, what we do, I fear, is that we reduce God to just a purveyor of parlor tricks. That, you know, some people think if they strain hard enough and grunt hard enough, they can make God do what they want him to do. And that's not at all what the scriptures teach. This thing about how that I can make God do whatever I want God to do is really not a biblical thing. In fact, the revelation that a lot of people need to get is this. If you will find out what God wants to do and get behind him in doing it and get with him in doing it, there is nothing that you can't do if you will find out what God wants to do. Because here he said that he granted them authority. He delegated. He said it's the Son of Man is a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority. When he delegated that authority to his servants, he was not leaving his servants behind saying, do whatever you want, party ever how you want to party, use up all of my goods, just destroy the house, you know, do whatever you want to do. You know, if you've ever been the parent of a teenager, you know that if you're going to go out of town overnight, you worry about what in the world is my teenager going to do to my house while I'm gone. But yet you might leave. You know, I would leave my boys, we'd leave our boys behind, and I would say, sometimes I'd say Avery was in charge, even though he was the younger one, because he seemed to have more sense than Zachary. But by leaving one of them in charge, Brother Joe, I was giving that one authority, not to do anything that he wanted, but to do what he knew was my will. Do you see the difference? And so I want you to understand that the 12 that we talked about in Matthew chapter 10, it said he called his 12, he gave them power or exousia against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness, all manner of disease. And this was, as I mentioned earlier, this was long before the day of Pentecost. This is years. This is 3 years before Jesus poured out the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. So understand this. Get this today. These are unregenerated disciples. They have not been filled with the Holy Ghost, and yet Jesus bestows on them power over demons. Did you get that? They don't have the Holy Ghost yet, but yet he bestows power on them over demons. One of those 12 that he bestowed this power on was Judas Iscariot. If you read the next verse, it names him specifically. Yet Jesus bestowed power. Yes, that's right. You heard that correctly. Jesus gave Judas Iscariot power over demons. Why? Well, this was a unique situation. Jesus is just starting his ministry. And what Jesus is saying to his disciples, I need somebody to go and prepare my way in the cities that I'm about to go to, in the cities that I'm going to be preaching in, just like John the Baptist. So Jesus turns his disciples loose And he tells them to go and preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. He said, freely ye have received, freely give. Time is of the essence. Jesus had only 3 years and he was going to be crucified. So the urgency of the hour necessitated that Jesus had to temporarily empower people who did not have the Holy Ghost. I hope y'all are getting this. Y'all real quiet, making me nervous here. But this temporary empowerment was never intended to be a substitute for Pentecost. He still told them when he ascended, before he ascended up into heaven, he still said, you got to go to Pentecost. You've got to wait until you receive power from on high. In other words, Brother Curry, that temporary power that he had given them in Matthew chapter 10 was just that. It was temporary, and it was only for a short period of time. It was only in the moment to allow them to set the stage so that Jesus could go into all of the cities and preach the gospel. Now, after Jesus rose from the dead, he did command his disciples to go to the upper room. Acts 1 and 8, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So he told his disciples to go to Jerusalem and to wait for permanent power, permanent, not temporary, but permanent power and authority. And this is the thing that I want to focus on today. That same power and authority that Jesus promised to his disciples on the day of Pentecost is available to every Holy Ghost filled child of God today. Can you say amen? And yet, we allow the enemy to bully us, and we allow the enemy to push us around, and we allow the demonic world and the spirit world to cause us to walk in fear and intimidation. Does anybody hear what I'm preaching today? Amen. And I'm declaring to you today that I am preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to anybody. Because here, listen how the Lord confirmed his word today. When I walked into the building today, no one, not even my wife, had any idea what I was going to be preaching on today. Nobody. Brother Curry called me in over into the back right before prayer time, and he asked me a few questions about, I can't remember the first question you asked, brother, was something along the lines of how much liberty or how much freedom the power do we really want in this church? And then he shared a vision. Am I telling the truth, brother? He shared a vision, and I'm just standing there listening, and Brother Curry shared a vision with me. What Brother Curry did not know is even as the Holy Ghost had already given me this message, and even though God had already told me to preach this message about the power and the authority that we have in the Spirit, the enemy was working on me even as I came into the door today. And the devil said, what right do you have to preach this? What authority do you have to proclaim this word? Here you are going to get up there in front of these people and talk about spiritual power and spiritual authority, and you've been down in your back all week, and you've been bothered by this and bothered by that, and yet you've got to stand up and try to preach what you know that the Holy Ghost has given you. And Brother Curry said that he had a vision, and he said in that vision he saw a sword, and he said, you, Brother Crocker, have not felt like you have been worthy or deserving to pick up that sword, but that sword is the sword of the Spirit, and it is the word of God. And he said, the Holy Ghost says that you have every right and the authority and the power to pick it up and to swing it and to yield it in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We allow the enemy to bully us. Listen, Jesus gave this authority to his disciples, they were useless, unregenerated flesh. Does anybody hear what I'm preaching today? He gave it to a man that was going to betray him, Brother Curry, in the form of Judas Iscariot. He gave it to a man that was going to deny him in the person of Simon Peter. He gave it to a couple of individuals who fought over their place and standing in the kingdom and quibbled and argued over who was the greatest in James and John. He gave it to a man that did not even believe the resurrection had happened when they told him that it had happened in the person of Thomas the doubter. Amen. And yet, in spite of all of that, he gave this flesh, this unregenerated, this filthy flesh, this useless flesh, this doubting flesh, this broken flesh, this betraying flesh, this denying flesh. Jesus gave that unregenerated flesh power. And if God will do that for the unregenerated, how much more for those that are full of the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. If Jesus would give Judas Iscariot power over demons. Yet the enemy wants you to think, sister, that you don't have that power. Jesus gave that power to Judas Iscariot, Brother Bobby, but the enemy wants you to think that you don't have that power. Sister Janet, he gave that power to doubting Thomas, but the enemy says you are not worthy of that power today. Is anybody getting the gist of this today? Amen. What the Holy Ghost is trying to say. If we would just open up our eyes and understand that this power and this authority is not the power and the authority to go around and do tricks, but it is the power and the authority to speak to demons and to speak to devils and speak to spirits of oppression and demand that they leave your household, that they leave your family, that they leave your husband, that they leave your wife, that they leave your children. Hallelujah. Clap your hands unto the Lord. The Bible says that God gave man dominion over creation. He said in Genesis, he said, I'm giving him dominion over the birds of the air, over all the creeping things. But here's the thing, Brother Joe, if you look carefully at Genesis, God did not give man dominion at that time over the spirit world. He gave it to him over created things, over the earthly things, over the animals, over the ground. He gave him that kind of authority. But on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost was poured out, the power that God had previously reserved for himself was delegated to those of us who have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And what God did is he said, I am expanding your job duties. I am expanding your authority. I'm giving you a new title. Because beforehand, you were just a man. You were just a woman. But you are no longer just a man or just a woman. What I'm doing is I'm giving you a new position. You have been promoted. Now you are a child of the Most High. You have been brought into the household of the King. You have become a son of the Father. And now you have got authority and power over demonic spirits. Look, I want to read to you the rest of what he did here in Matthew chapter 10. Now understand, we're talking to a bunch of unregenerated cuckoo birds. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Verse 5 says, these 12 Jesus sent forth, or yes, it was all 12, including Judas, and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He is limiting the scope of their duties and their jurisdiction. He says, all I'm doing is empowering you and authorizing you to go into Israel right now. That's all I'm doing. Because this was during his earthly ministry until his crucifixion. But what does he do at Pentecost? He expands that authority. And he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In other words, I'm giving you a promotion. I'm upgrading you. And then when you read his instructions to them during this temporary commission, what we see in Jesus is we see a cockiness that is just a matter-of-fact boldness. He doesn't tell them, when you go into the cities, go in and pour a little old pitiful me. Go into the cities and say, I'm so sorry, but ma'am, woman, would you please have mercy on me? And would you please maybe give me a morsel of food? Would you please give me a place to stay? You know what he says? He says, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. In other words, he said, wherever you go, they're going to feed you. And guess what? You're going to deserve it when they do. They're going to make sure you are clothed. They're going to make sure you are taken care of, and you don't have to feel bad about taking it. He said, the workman is worthy of his meat. You aren't beggars, Jesus is saying to them. You deserve the support of those that offer it. Why? Because you have my authority. You are going with my authority. And he doesn't tell them to go and camp at the homeless shelter. I'm talking about to live. I'm not talking about ministering at the homeless shelter. He doesn't tell them to go camp at the homeless shelter. But what he says is, into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is the worst person in town. Inquire who is the lowest person in town. Find out who your poor, pitiful little self can go look for and find the worst possible person, and maybe that person will have compassion on you. No, he says you go find whoever's worthy. Whoever is worthy. And there abide, because you aren't beggars. I'm sending you with the authority of a king. You are spiritual dignitaries and emissaries. Find somebody of authority in that city and stay with that person. And look at what he says. And when you come to a house, verse 12, salute it. And if the house be worthy, notice he never says if you're worthy. We're still talking about unregenerated flesh. Yet he says, he never says if you're worthy. He says if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of the house or the city, do what? Shake the dust off of your feet. Why? Because you are a child of the king, and you deserve better. And if they won't hear what you've got to say, you go find somebody who is worthy and deserving of it, and they will hear what you've got to say. He said, and when you come into a house, he said, if they treat you right, that's what's to be expected. If they don't, shake the dust off and move on to somebody else. He says, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. In Genesis chapter 19, you know what happened in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah? In Genesis chapter 19, two angels went to visit Lot. And the Bible said that while the angels were in Lot's house visiting, that the perverted men of the city tried to force their way into the house so that they could sexually assault the angels that were staying there. They thought they were men and that were staying there with Lot and his house. And the Bible says that the angels smote them with blindness. They smote them with blindness. And yet in Matthew here, Jesus says that the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah in attempting to mistreat angels is not as bad as the sin of somebody who is mistreating one of his designated authorities. Jesus said you'd be better off attacking an angel than you will be if you attack one of my emissaries. Do you understand the magnitude of this today? And then he says in verse number 18, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, to take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. You're an ambassador. You're an emissary. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. In other words, you have the authority of heaven behind you. Your words are the words of a king. When we go over to the Gospel of John, in the Gospel of John, John spends a lot of time talking about the authority of Jesus. You know, a lot of our world paints Jesus as meek and mild, and he was meek in a sense, but he was also very bold. Very bold. He knew who he was. He knew what he was here for. And he was very bold about his authority. And look at what he says in John chapter 10, verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. This is not a man that's complaining about being mistreated by his enemies. He said they have no authority to take my life. I lay down my life. And not only do I lay it down voluntarily, but I'm also going to tell you this. When I descend into heaven and I take the keys of death, hell, and the grave, I will come up out of the grave, because it is my decision. It's not the decision of the devils. It's not the decision of the spirits. It's not the decision of the enemies. I have that power and authority. When he stood before Pilate, it says that he went into the judgment hall and saith, Pilate said to Jesus, "Where are you from? Whence art thou?" Jesus gave him no answer. In other words, you aren't worthy of my response. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above." The book of Hebrews says that he despised the shame, but he was letting Pilate know that every single action, every single thing that takes place today in this courtroom and in this trial, every single little detail of it is under my control. Hallelujah. Not yours. Hallelujah. Not only did Jesus have all of that power and authority, but he designates it and delegates it to us. Look at what he says. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, exousia, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He's using that word power here because he's talking about in the context of becoming the sons of God. He's talking about inheriting the authority of the Father. Too many times in the church, I'm talking about even within the church, not just in the world, but too many times in the church, we say things like, "The devil made me do this," or "The devil did that." The devil has no authority whatsoever over you that you do not grant him to have. You need to wake up today and understand the spiritual authority that you have, and you need to take that authority back. Where the enemy works on us, and I'm closing here in just a minute, but where the enemy works on us, the only authority that Satan has is God has given him the authority to lie to you. And that's what he does. That's why he convinces you or tries to convince you that you're not worthy. James said, when you ask for something, James said, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Hebrews said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What somebody needs to wake up to today is this understanding that when the enemy says you don't deserve it, you are not worthy of it, you are not good enough, what right do you have? The only thing you need to say is you need to say, I have the right that my Heavenly Father has given me. In and of myself, I have no authority. In and of myself, I have no power. But because he has delegated that power and that authority, I have a right to come before the throne of grace. Can you say praise the Lord? See, the enemy's going to send people in your life that will make you feel like you're not worthy. Anybody ever had that happen? Look at what James said. about the church. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Hallelujah. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Why? Because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Have any of you ever felt prompted by the Holy Ghost to pray for somebody? Maybe a total stranger. Maybe out at the grocery store somewhere. Maybe Walmart, walking track, wherever. And as soon as that thought comes in your mind to pray for them, the enemy perches up on your shoulder. He says, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? What right do you have? Because he knows that there is power in the prayer of faith. Amen. I had somebody ask me for prayer, or somebody that I prayed for this week. And immediately, just as I said, the enemy perched up on my shoulder. But then I just rebuked him in Jesus' name under my breath. And I said, the authority that I have is the authority given to me by Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Ghost and His Word. Praise God. And that is all the authority that we need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me today? Praise God. I'm going to tell you something else too, folks. You want to talk about spiritual authority? One of my favorite stories in the New Testament is the story of Legion. How many of you are familiar with the story of Legion? Legion. Nobody knows how many devils he had, but they called him Legion because a legion was, I think, about 1,000, anywhere from 1,000 to 10,000 soldiers. So he probably had hundreds, if not thousands, of devils. And the Bible says he tore himself, cut himself. They tried to bind him with chains to keep him from hurting himself, and he just broke the chains. All of these demons tormenting this man. But when Jesus came into this area where he was, the Gadarenes, just like he had given the 12 temporary authority over devils, that man Legion with 1,000 devils got enough temporary authority to come running to Jesus and fell at his feet and worshiped him. Devils tormenting him. I can just see them. They've got this poor fella covered up head to toe. Little evil imps attached to him like leeches. But he hears that Jesus is in town. And those leeches of demons, much to their astonishment, they don't want to go to where Jesus is. They don't want to run to him. They know who he is. They even begged him not to torment them. The demons knew who he was. And yet they felt their grip on this man loosen. And all of the power in hell could not stop him from running to Jesus. I don't care if you have never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost today or not. I don't care if you are a backslider. I frankly don't care what your status is. I know what the Holy Ghost told me to preach today. And I can promise you this. Brother Curry, back me up. There are not enough devils in hell to keep you from coming to an altar. I don't care if your demon is drug addiction. I don't care if your demon is adultery. I don't care if your demon is pornography. I don't care if your demon is alcoholism. I don't care what your demon, if your devil is lying, I don't care what it is. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, through the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost, I command whatever demon and whatever devil, devils of depression, devils of discouragement, devils of defeat, devils of fear, devils of abuse, devils of pain, devils of hurt, devils of suffering, right now I command them to loose you right now. And if you want to come to this altar, you can be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost before you leave this place today. Hallelujah. If you've already got the Holy Ghost, I want you to proclaim it right now. Proclaim it right now. Say, I rebuke them in the name of Jesus. I rebuke every devil of hell in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It makes no difference what the devil is. It makes no difference what the spirit is. It makes no difference what the trouble is. It makes no difference what the problem is. We rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus. Is anybody wants to be delivered? Anybody wants? God has given you a temporary deliverance. But does anybody want a permanent deliverance? Yes. Does anybody want permanent? Come on, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name. I need some Holy Ghost filled men of God right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I rebuke the enemy right now that would come against you and trouble you today. I rebuke every spirit of fear. I rebuke every spirit of affliction. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Loose him. Loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, if you got the Holy Ghost, believe it right now. Stretch your hand out this way. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
When I am falling short, and when I don't belong, oh, you say I am yours. Oh, I believe.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, hell is not happy right now. I said hell is not happy right now. But we're believing it in the name of Jesus.
I believe what you say.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, yes. In the name of Jesus, I agree with you.
I believe what you say of me. Oh, I believe, and you say I'm loved when I can't feel a thing, and you say I'm strong when I think I am weak, and you say I'm held when I am falling short, and when I don't belong, you say I'm yours, and I believe.
Deliverance. He wants to give you a permanent freedom. He wants to give you a permanent deliverance.
When I can't feel a thing.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
And you say I'm held when I am falling short. And when I don't belong, you say I'm yours.
I believe, I believe.
Hallelujah.